Milwaukee Bucks, green and growing better each year.
Bucks with the big win last night over the Pacers at Fiserv Forum. Place looked absolutely electric again. I believe that some of the players even talked about the environment and the crowd and the fans and how great they were. Helping them get off to a good start, keeping the momentum as the game went on, even when the game was kind of ridiculously out of hand. Bucks were up by as much as 30, ended up winning by 15. Lots of folks weighing in on our ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. Jason saying, so wait, the Bucks are good now? It's like when your wife is mad at you, but she starts talking to you, and then she slaps your hand if you try to grab her butt. It's so confusing. Then it says, ask Chewy, he knows.
Oh, yeah.
Familiar with that dance, yeah. Are you?
What you do now?
We are taking your numbers this morning on what your confidence level was going into the game. I said I was at about a 5, again, not knowing how they would handle the pressure of the playoffs without Giannis, if this team would be able to shoot and score, and obviously they did through Dame Lillard. And now I'm at a 6. Because that moved in the positive direction, yet I'm still a little bit nervous about, one, the second half of the game where they were able to shut down Dame Lillard, the adjustments that the Bucks will make to their adjustments, and also getting Giannis back in the mix and what that looks like and how they run the offense. And if you're going to have Giannis, you know, off the ball a little bit more. Tone weighing in on our YouTube page saying, instead of playing point forward, Giannis needs to learn to dominate without the ball. Has to start playing as a rim rolling four. Let Dame possess the ball as much as possible. That is Tone's suggestion. Gabe, you in on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the reason why you brought Damian Lillard here. That's not to say, you know, at different points in the first three and a half quarters that Giannis can't bring it up, because there are also going to be times when, you know, Dame's obviously not on the floor. And if a team is going to full court press and just be annoying for Dame, just to kind of give him, you know, okay, I don't want to have to work that hard to bring the ball across the timer, you give it to Giannis and let him bring it up, and you can still run little different actions to get Dame the ball and run the offense through him. So yes, I think that running the offense through Damian Lillard is the best option for the Bucks. And even if you do that, Giannis can still clean up a lot of misses. He can get shots around the rim. He can still get his 25 to 30 points.
But do you shoot till you make it? I mean, you kind of know when you go on a golf course,
yeah,
right? And you're feeling it, you're feeling it.
Yeah.
But when you're not, you're not. Is it the same in basketball? Or should Dame shoot until he makes it?
Shoot or shoot. You shoot to get hot, you shoot to stay hot.
Really? See, I think that's bad when you got a guy like Giannis, because they both can dominate, and that's what I'm talking. If he doesn't have it, then maybe Middleton does it, or something like.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, like, if Dame, you know, starts 0-for-4, I don't think he's only taking 6 shots for the game.
Our favorite guy, Kendrick Perkins, was weighing in on the game last night, guys. He said, Dame MF Dalla. He's just getting started, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said, he will be the best player in this series. Carry the hell on. Wow, he really hates Giannis, huh? Just really does not like. It's very obvious that there's a thing happening here.
Yeah, it's crazy. Because, like, again, he's one of the few people who picked the Bucks to win the series before game one, and yet didn't have Giannis in top, you know, his top MVP, didn't have Giannis first team All-NBA, so Giannis isn't going to be unanimous in that situation. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, and also, the NBA did release its finalists for each of its major awards, and shout out to Bobby Portis, who is one of 3 guys remaining as sixth man of the year. So when does that get announced? It's after the season, right? Is that their awards or something like that?
They've mixed it up so many times where they've done it in season, out of season. I think they do it out of season now, but who knows?
All right, I want to take a pivot because I want to get to the Green Bay Packers. We got to hear from Jeff Hafley this weekend. He did a conversation with Larry the Rock McCarron on Packers.com, and he said some interesting stuff, some eye-raising stuff. Let's take a listen to Jeff Hafley, who was on Packers.com, talking about this year's Green Bay Packers defense.
I told the players I want to lead the NFL in effort, and I want to lead the NFL in how hard we play, and I want to lead the NFL in taking the ball away. I want people to see the confidence that our players are playing with in themselves and with their teammates, and showing them how much they care about each other and this team by how hard they play and how hard they run to the ball and the effort that they give.
Mm. That's not very glowing for last year's defense, because I'm sure the first thing he did is went in and watched every game and graded it. And
to give you context, they did talk about that later in the interview. He watched every single play.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's what you do, and regrade them. And obviously, we always thought it, that the effort was lacking at times. And I tell you what, this new rule change where you where you can't bring a guy, because that was taught. That was taught because gang tackling is kind of a thing of the past now, which is going to have to come back now.
Population? Right, you said gang tackling, population tackling?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, it's going to have to, because if you can, I mean, how many times do you see a linebacker or a tight end get behind the linebackers? How the hell do you tackle them now? You know?
I don't know.
That's going to be a different rule change. And we kind of went through this under Coughlin at Boston College when we went from the coach I had for 4 years, Jack Bicknell, to Coughlin. He did the same thing. And he charted loafs. Loafs. He called them loafs.
Mm-hmm.
9 flipping loafs in that game.
Okay, so how do you gauge? How do you measure a loaf?
Effort. You can tell. You can tell what a loaf is if the guy's just kind of
going through the motions.
And a guy, you know, the whoever has the ball isn't down yet, and you got guys standing around.
Okay,
it's very easy to chart.
So that's my only criticism of the comment that he made, which was we want to lead the league in effort. That's a pretty nebulous metric. I can't watch a game and go, oh, they got 17 efforts, or you know what I mean? And also he talked about takeaways, guys. By the way, Green Bay was one of the worst teams in the league last year in takeaways. They had 18. I'm looking at the stat here from 2023. They had 18. That is second worst in the league for takeaways.
But
so in order to lead the league in takeaways, you're going to have to make a major jump. 31 was the number last year that led the league in takeaways from a team standpoint.
But it goes hand in hand. Because when we played Minnesota back in the day, their defensive philosophy was the first guy go in and hold the guy up. The second guy and third guy go in and get the ball. That's why every time we played them, we'd have to put emphasis on that. Look, that's how they play. They're going to hold you up. Next guy's going to drill you. Next guy's going to try and rip the ball out. And it worked. They led the league in turnovers, I think, a bunch. So you can tell effort. And it would explain a lot of things here. How many times we see Jair or who's the?
Darnell Savage.
Just throw a shoulder into the guy. What the hell is that? What is that? It's not football. He's going to go back to fundamentals. He's going to do the drill that they all hate, where they have to chase the ball around. The D linemen have to run 40 yards down the field. I know it sounds Johnny High School-ish, but those things matter.
I think the turnovers come when you play more aggressive.
Yeah.
Like the style of defense that Joe Barry wanted to play, keep everything in front. You're not being aggressive. Are you going to give up some big plays? Yeah, you're going to give up some big plays when you're being aggressive. But when you're just trying to keep everybody in front, you don't want to give up the big play. You're not going to create turnovers. That's just not how that works. Do I expect them to jump to the top? Absolutely not. But I expect that number to go up just based on stylistically the way that Halfley's talked about.
That's why it's going to take a little time, because with playing an aggressive defense, you put guys on an island.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you have to figure out, can this guy play in my scheme? No, he can't. You know, that's how you play aggressive.
Well,
you got to realize that some guys are going to be exposed.
Speaking of that, Halfley did go on to talk about the players, because again, you guys just mentioned he watched all of the film. He knows what guys can do. He knows what they have been doing. Here's what he had to say about the players that they have on defense.
We've got really good players, very talented players. I think the D-line has depth, and they have some guys that played their best football last year. And the same thing I see at the linebacker position. I know Quay and McDuff have kind of been the guys at the end that we're playing. And then the back end, you know, we have maybe the best corner in football. He's a fun guy to be around, and he loves ball, and he's super talented in Ja. And then you get Keyshawn, who we were really excited to have back playing nickel. And then you get Xavier to play safety, seeing all the things that he could do. And then the younger guys that got experience here that give us some depth, and now we have competition for other spots that are open.
Who played their best football last year, Chu?
Nobody.
Defensively?
That's why I was thinking when he said that, I was thinking a little Matt Rhule with Cam Newton. When everyone in the world knew Cam Newton was gone, and Matt Rhule's like, I really am excited to be able to coach him for the next couple of years. You know?
What an odd reference. I don't remember that.
You remember it, because I bring it up all the time.
Yeah, Chewy's brought it up a number of times.
But it's like,
I don't know if I actually remember it. I just know that you bring it up, so I just assume it's right.
So what if you're a guy that wasn't mentioned by Halfley? Are you like, oh boy?
Well, even so,
he
mentioned
a lot of defensive linemen. It was mostly the
he even mentioned
in the
Quay and McDuff, but all he said was, well, those guys were playing last year.
Well, he had... yeah.
Well, they were here.
Hold on. He had McDuffie at Boston College.
Right. I'm wondering
so if, that's his guy.
I wonder if he thinks McDuffie played his best football last year. I wonder if he thinks Keyshawn Nixon played his best football last year. Although you could argue that it was the year before, which is what led to the contract, right? Last year wasn't the year. Or wait, was the contract just this offseason?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big contract.
I thought that was last year. It was just this past offseason. Woo! Draft cannot get here fast enough, by the way. Close the book on this offseason. Is there anybody I'm missing? Jair certainly did not play his best football last year.
No. Nope.
Kenny Clark was fine. He's
Kenny Clark
a good
was
player.
Kenny Clark.
Had
he's
his most sacks
player.
Ever, didn't he?
I think he might have.
Yeah. That's
which is how many?
Single. 7.5. Yeah, he's never been double-digit guy.
I mean, he's good, right?
Yeah, he's a good player. He's a good player.
They need elite players, though.
Well, do you think McKinney's going to be that? I mean, from
it's
what...
hard to be elite.
They paid him to be.
You got
to
be really.
I was going to say just for what they gave
but
him.
But you got to really, really be good to be considered elite at the safety position, and there's not a ton like Leroy and Nick Collins, right? Since then. But you need super.
But
like,
they also
like,
have never
look at San
invested
Francisco.
In the position either, Chu.
They did draft wise, though.
Who did they draft?
Darnell Savage. Ha-ha Clinton Dix.
You know, but look at San Francisco's defense. Those two linebackers, studs. Joey Bosa, stud. I don't know a lot about their defensive backfield, but if you can have three, what'd we have? We had two studs on defense. Reggie.
Yep.
And Leroy.
And I keep going back to San Francisco. Watching that San Francisco defense, and you were like, okay, Fred Warner, he's a stud. Okay, Dre Greenlaw is a stud until he got hurt in that game, obviously. But those guys were difference makers. They were field tilters.
Joey Bosa,
But again, you're paying guys to be difference makers and field tilters.
Yes.
And Xavier McKinney and Rashawn Gary. Those guys
and
have
Jair.
To be those
Jair's
guys.
Jair,
100%.
Like field tilter.
Yeah, Jair's still one of the highest, if not the highest paid corner. Yeah.
The highest.
Yeah. So you're paying those
Who
guys.
Who should be a stud,
they
but
have to be.
His head gets in the way. Of him being a stud.
Well, and I think that's part of what Halfley is doing right now. He's going to continue building him up. He's going to continue saying the right things to him because he knows he's a guy who can check out. And you don't want Jair to be a malcontent, right? Because that's when things can go sideways. So I think he's going to try to start with clean, fresh slate.
Yes.
And see if they can just keep building off of that.
Well, again, and then that's, I think, where things kind of went sideways in the previous regime. Clearly, the defensive coordinator and Jair Alexander did not see eye to eye.
So the biggest takeaway that Joshy had from that sound was what, Joshy? The sound about the effort?
Yeah, that last year there was visible to Jeff Halfley an effort issue that was taking place on defense. Now, I didn't watch and think there was effort. I just thought it wasn't that good of plays a lot of time and kind of how they were coached. But if he sees it as a fixable issue with effort, he's telling us that the players are there to have a good defense. They just didn't play like it.
I just don't know. Chewy, you got to tell me. If athletes, high-level elite athletes, work in nebulous metrics, because effort is one of those things that, like, I think you can skew. I think you can manipulate. I think you can kind of look like you are working really hard, but not really be working hard. And at the end of the day, it's like for our show, we talk about metrics that we get measured by to tell whether the show is growing, whether we're being successful, whether we're doing a good job. But if all of a sudden I was like, you know what metric I would love to know? We want to have the fewest yawns from our listeners, the fewest yawns out there. So we want to make sure that our listeners aren't yawning. Well, there's no way of knowing how often people are yawning during the duration of the show.
It kind of stems from, and I'll flip it over to the offense. Who was the guy that was here last? Joe Barry Carroll. If you're telling your defense, hey, we're going to keep everything in front of us, it kind of lulls you to sleep. And you'd have to fight it as a receiver. If you're sending me out as the fourth read every time, I'm busting my ass the first three routes I'm running. But then you get to the sixth, seventh, and you're the fourth read, and you're like, and then all of a sudden the one zips over your head because you're running three-quarter speed. That's kind of what you get lulled into, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not involved as a linebacker and say, hey, we're blitzing you on this play, you know, you're in coverage three times in a row, and then you're bringing it, you stay involved. But if you're like, just drop into the flat every time. You're like,
are you just playing center field as a safety?
Yeah, exactly.
Just gonna hang out back here. Good luck up there,
but
guys.
But also from a coaching standpoint, you can't be motivated by that. You can't be like, oh, what are we gonna do here? Oh, we gotta get Joey over here involved in the play. Let's be, you know what I'm saying? Like, it has to be whatever is in the best interest of the entire team. So you're just saying they're fighting human nature. Human
Correct.
Nature, which is to become complacent if you're not involved directly in the
play.
And
that happens with veterans. I remember going back when we were Turd Central. You would have, like, for a clear out route, when you're the number one-on-one, and your job is to clear out, even though you're number one, you're getting the ball maybe one out of 15 plays, you'd have Sterling Sharp and Mark Clayton running half speed where he's supposed to be clear. And Eddie West almost got killed. I thought he might have died because they didn't clear it out. They ran lazy, didn't get the corner to turn its head, just look back, and they almost decapitated Eddie. That's the that's what Halfley's saying. This stuff is over. Over. You know, when Holmgren said that, ooh. When it's over, that style of play, it's over.
So here's what he is doing, guys. He is absolutely putting a mark out there. He is putting a carrot out there for his guys. Because we can joke about how nebulous saying we're going to lead the lead in effort is. But leading the league in takeaways is something you can point to. Now he's said it. He's put it out there. They may not reach it, but this to me is like that old age-old statement about, like, shoot for the moon. Even if you miss, you'll land amongst the stars. Like, this is what they are. They're not going to have 18 takeaways is the point.
Yeah.
They're going to be up there in the 20s. They're going to be up there in the high 20s. They're going to be up there competing, I think, if Halfley has his way, for the top of the league. Is that realistic, Joshy? Is it realistic to be a top five team in the league in takeaways with this defense?
I think it's a good goal for yourself to set yourself. I think if you believe in your talent, there's no reason you can't be. And if Jeff Halfley believes in his system to force the issue more, you can totally see it. Because you would think with effort, increased effort comes increased production.
And aggressiveness, right?
Right.
We talked about that.
But if we all tried harder, we would all do better. That's just kind of how stuff goes.
Yeah.
But how much, to me, this all comes down to one thing. How much pressure can you generate? And can you do it with four? And do they have enough talent to be able to do that?
Do they? Not right now? And then the next
right
question
now,
becomes,
right yeah.
Does that mean that you start prioritizing defensive line? Would you start prioritizing that, getting pressure, in the draft, which is now just a few days away?
I think that I don't see a lot on mocks. Like, I saw a couple of seven-round mocks come out. I think defensive line, especially the interior, is a bigger need than most people realize. Because, you know, when you're putting together the mock draft, you're going, oh, they've got Kenny Clark, and you know, they've got other bodies.
Al Brooks.
Even though there's been talk of potentially trading.
But if
Haven't there been rumors online about, like...
Because if Kenny, again, if you're not going to extend Kenny, which you would have done by now, because it would have been nice to have that money during the big-time free agency period and all of those things, if Kenny's not going to be here next year... That leaves a sizable gap. So I would not be surprised if they went after a couple of defensive linemen in the draft. They're kind of set with what they have on the outside. Obviously, they want Lucas Van Ness to continue to grow, probably split some rotational reps with Preston Smith. But Rashawn Gary has to have 12 or more sacks. Has to. Like, non-negotiable has to do it.
If you look at the best defenses in the league, they can all create pressure with four.
Yes.
That's what, and I'm not talking sacks. I'm talking pressure.
Because that's where the turnovers come from.
Because you're dropping seven, that's where your turnovers come from. They don't have to be sacks, but making the quarterback feel uncomfortable.
Rush into a
decision. I mean, look at Jordan Love. I think it might have been his last throw of the game against San Francisco. Got flustered, threw across his body, and resulted in a pick.
Game's over.
That's what you want.
So the
Packers, I think that's what they're going to try to get to, Jen, but right now, I'm saying they don't have the personnel to do it.
So the Packers were one of the worst teams in the league last year at takeaways. We mentioned that with 18. The top of the league was 31. Is it realistic for Jeff Halfley to say this team will lead the league in takeaways? Let's put that on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll for you to weigh in this morning. Again, they had 18 last year. That was second last in the league. Top of the league was 31. Is it realistic for Jeff Halfley to say, as he did on Packers.com, he wants this team to lead the league in takeaways? Gabe?
Bucks began their quest for an NBA championship last night. We're giving you that opportunity to be there for game two after the big win. We have two lower level tickets for tomorrow night's game to give away right now. And caller number 22 wins. That's right. Caller 22 at 800-990-3776. 800-990-3776. Do not miss out on all of the electrifying action, heart-stopping moments, and intense drama that is Milwaukee Bucks playoff basketball. Go to Bucks.com/playoffs for more info. The Milwaukee Bucks playoffs are presented by BMO.